It's good to see everybody. Listen, we have been talking about the church. We have been talking about the body of Christ. And we're talking specifically not about Three Point or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're talking about the church that Jesus built. The problem is, I think a lot of times today, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, the church today, I think, has become not what the church that Jesus had in mind. I think many churches today, if you think about it, they strive to keep their members happy. Would you agree? We're going to try to keep the members happy. Why? Because then the tithes keep rolling in. Then, you know, no one's offended. Everybody's in a good mood all the time because things are going their way and not maybe necessarily God's way. The second thing I think churches today do, they avoid controversial issues. Okay? Well, we're not going to talk about that because it might offend somebody. You know, and the Bible was written so long ago, it just don't apply today in those areas, Paul. So we're just, you know, so I think churches today, first off, they're going to try to keep members happy. I think they're going to try to avoid controversial issues. But the biggest thing besides that is I think they lose focus on the main thing. They lose focus on the main thing, and that's where I'm going to land today. What is the main thing when Jesus put the church together? One of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible is from the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." In other words, if you cling to something so hard, you forfeit the grace that could be yours. You can put that in any area of your life. If you're going to hold on and your job is your God, I cling to my job, guess what? You forfeit the grace and the mercy that could be yours. Maybe something better. And I think for the church, we make an idol out of our worship, out of our religion, the way we do things. And if we cling to that instead of the main thing, we forfeit the grace and the power that God has promised to us. Peter says this in Acts 2. He says this, "Repent and be baptized." Listen again, "Repent and be baptized." If you got your Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 41, and underline that or circle that, "Repent and be baptized," because that's the main thing. Repent, turn from your sins, be baptized. "Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then it goes on, "With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation." We live in a time of a corrupt generation. Would you agree? Yeah, just look at what's happening in our TV. I mean, look at what happens in all of our TV. You know, the modern family, and I'm not talking about the show The Modern Family, but you look at the modern family. Usually two dads, two moms, you got to have an adopted Asian kid. I don't know how that happens, but you have all of these strange dynamics that just don't make any sense. Margie and I were watching a movie. We thought, God, this is a great movie. It's one of them Hallmark things, you know, how your wife kind of gets you into those during the holidays. And at the very end of that, great movie all the way through, had a great message all the way through, and at the very last scene before the credits went up, no lie, the guy finally gets a girl. You know how it is in a Hallmark movie. There's a dog. It starts to snow, and then they kiss, and then the things come up, okay? There's the dog. It starts to snow. They look at each other. They kiss, and it pans back, and right behind them are two men kissing. And then the credits come up, and it's like, you went the whole movie, and then you had to throw that in because that's politically correct today. Listen to this. "He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." That's the church that Jesus built. Repent from your sins and be baptized. We are called to take a different approach than the world. Jesus tells us if the world's mad at you, it's because they're mad at him. He says if you love the world, then you hate God. And if you love God, then you hate the world. I mean, the scripture's clear. You know, I could follow Jesus because he said some great things. All he said was love, man. No, Jesus said some very hard things. I came to split families. I came to bring a sword. That's what Jesus says. That's why it's important that we get into his word. We're going to take a different approach. In the book of Matthew, this is what it says about John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching, repent. Listen again, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Again, we see Peter pleading with them, repent and be baptized. We see John saying, repent and be baptized. Jesus himself in Matthew, it says this, Jesus entered the temple area and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. Repent, be baptized, prayer, a house of prayer. I think a lot of times in churches today, we get caught up in gimmicks and games. Oh, what can we do to increase attendance? What can we do to do this? And we lose focus of the main thing, which is to repent and follow Christ. Today, after the church service, we're going to have the church-wide meeting, and there are going to be some things that we're going to tell you that we're going as we go into this new year, and you're going to say, like, okay, well, why aren't we doing this anymore? I'll tell you why we're not doing it anymore, because it is not the main thing. We need to be focused on the main thing. It begins when we recognize that we are desperately in need of a merciful Savior. And then we devote our lives to serving Him. See, the problem is, most of us think we're better than we are. I'm okay. You know, them people in the news, them's adulterers, them's murderers, them's protesters, them's bad people. But me, I don't do any of that. I'm pretty good. No, we're not. We are desperately in need of a Savior. And then once we realize that and we repent, we turn away from our sin and ourself, and we come to Him and we say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Then we follow Him. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. And don't make anything else about it, because there lies sin. In other words, do what you're going to say you're going to do. Follow Him. And if you follow Him, He is the Lord and He is our Master. A church that is built on the foundation of God's word and not programs or our services we provide. We become a house of prayer. That's the church that Jesus built. That is the main thing. So we take a different approach, but listen to this. We have to be laser focused on that main thing. In Acts chapter 4, it says this, but Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. In other words, they're called in front of the Sanhedrin. They are called in front of the religious leaders. And they're saying, we told you guys not to preach. Okay? And they're afraid to stone them, and they're afraid to do anything to them because there's a great multitude following them. But here's what they say. They say, judge for yourself whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. In other words, okay, do you want me to obey you or do you want me to obey what God says? Now, society will say, well, you need to obey us because then we're tolerant and we all get along. Can't all religions get along? Aren't all religions true? Don't all ways, many different ways lead to God? When Jesus himself said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If Jesus makes that claim, either he's right, and we do that, either he's a liar, and he was just making that up, and there's many different ways to God, or he's crazy. I think they call it a liar. He's either Lord, liar, or a lunatic. So you have to decide. And if he is the Lord and what he says is true, then that's what we have to be laser focused on. It goes on to say this, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be disgraced for your name, for his name. In other words, you're going to be mocked, ridiculed. You may be, your friends will shun you. I don't know. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped what? Teaching and proclaiming the good news that what? Jesus is the Christ. That is laser focused on the main thing. We do a wonderful Love Makes Me Do It banquet, but it ain't about that at all. We do a backpack ministry every week to feed children. Not even important. The most important thing is to get the word out that Jesus Christ is Lord. Y'all want me to stop there, but I'm going to tell you what this means for 3 points. When you recognize just how holy God is, it's at that moment you're going to see how really sinful you are. And sometimes you're not going to feel good enough. You're not going to feel worthy enough. You're going to feel ordinary. You're going to say, you know, how can I do this? How can I get the message out? Well, when an individual is saved, he becomes a member of the whole body of Christ. He becomes a member of a worldwide church. I mean, there are people in China, even in Iran, there are people by the throngs coming to Christ, okay? So they join this whole body, this worldwide, real people that have been changed by the mercy and the grace of God. They are people now that have been set apart. They have been consecrated. It's the fancy word. But they have been set apart to be made holy. Be holy for He is holy. They are saved not only from their sins, but they are free from the stronghold of sin in their lives. You don't have to keep doing the same thing. Well, you know, I'm only human. I'm going to keep screwing up. I'm going to keep screwing up. No, you have power over that. It's the power of Jesus in your life. One time Peter and John were preaching, and they got arrested again. And then it says this in Acts 4. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, okay, remember, a fisherman, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. In other words, they were ordinary, unschooled men. And the word for ordinary, and you can look this up in the interlinear Bible, is the word idiotes. And we get the word idiot. Idiotes. An idiot. These are idiots, but yet they've been with God. Okay? Here's the thing. I love being around idiots. Well, wait a minute. I love being around idiots who are simply foolish enough to believe that Jesus is who He says He is. You're idiot enough to believe He can do what He says He can do. And you're an idiot enough to know that what He says is true, so now you can go out and be an idiot for Him. Now, I'm not talking about going out and acting a fool. But you don't need all this learning and everything else. I think about the disciples. Who did He choose in the 12? Fishermen? A tax collector? Judas? You know, he chose like these ordinary, goofy people that would have never had anything to do with each other, ever. They would have run in different circles. Peter had a horrible temper. One time he got mad, cut a guy's ear off. You know? He chose regular people, and that's us. He chose us to be focused laser-like on the main thing, to go into the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To be focused on that laser thing. Today, if I were to try to look for another job somewhere, okay, and I go online, blah, 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 pastor.com, pastorsearch.com, or whatever, what happens is, it gives you a list of qualifications. Must have a degree. Must have at least 10 years of preaching experience. Must have this. Must have that. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. You just have to be an idiot for Jesus. You don't need the learning, because here's what happens. Jesus makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference. And then you share what that difference is with others. It's not about sitting down and saying like, okay, here's the track. I want you to follow these four Roman road things. Or, hey, I want you to say this sinner's prayer after me. It's not about that. It is sharing the good news of the gospel with others, because you can't save anybody. The Holy Spirit does. What you do is you plant a seed here, plant a seed there, and all of a sudden it begins to take root. The Holy Spirit does a work in their lives. You may not ever see anything happen with that person. Man, I pray for that person all the time and nothing ever happens, but someone else may see some changes going on. Paul explained it to the Corinthians this way. And I, this is Paul, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you get that? The Son of God was crucified for you and for me. Because of how dirty and unfaithful and unrighteous we are, so that we could be made righteous with God. Listen to this. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. I wasn't trying to oppress anybody, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, young people, we hear today like, oh man, when you go off to college, what's going to happen? You're going to get these liberal professors, and immediately they're going to tell you everything you ever believed, everything your parents ever said were wrong. Your parents are stupid. Just remind them, no, they're not stupid. They're an idiot. They're an idiot for Christ. Okay? Now, you're going to learn all these things, and they're going to tell you those are true. But I'm going to tell you this. If you believe everything your professors tell you are true, then you're the foolish one. Not everything that they say is true. Even in the religious cycles, when we go to seminary, some of the classes you take in seminaries hire people that are atheist to be professors in their colleges. And they do that because of their degrees. But here's the thing, they will question your faith. They will ridicule your faith. And so you have to be strong. You have to have a strong foundation. That's why we have to be laser focused, not in programs or in gimmicks or in games or anything like that. We have to be focused on the Word of God and what it says. And what it says is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. You, me, our kids, our parents. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And it says the wages of sin is what? Death. But you don't have to do that. Because God sent His Son for you and for me. And because of that, we now are able to live a life that is freeing. The Bible's not a book of don't do this, don't do this. It's a book of do's. Go out and live your faith. Go out and be different. Go out and be changed. Share the gospel. Be a light into the world. Be the salt of the earth. Be a city on the hill. That's what we're called to be. Those who partner together and surrender their lives to the cause of Christ under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they become changed. And when we're changed, we become unstoppable. That's why the church is so important, y'all. I mean, I could go out there and stand on the corner and hold my Bible up and do that, but there are strength in numbers. If all of us came together and we all went out there and we raised our Bibles, and I'm not talking on the streets, I'm talking about in our homes, in our jobs, with our families, and we just shared the good news of God, what a difference that would make. The church, if it's built on a personality, if it's built on a model, if it's built on just the building, having a building, it's going to fail. It will fall, period. It has to be built on Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the cornerstone. He is the sure foundation. And it has to be built on the salvation that He offers to each one of us in that new life. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be kingdom builders here in this place. Father, we admit oftentimes we get off track and we become people pleasers. We become that church like every other church where we're more concerned about keeping people happy and we avoid controversial issues and we just lose sight of the main thing. Father, I pray that you would draw us back. Draw us back in your mercy and your grace to the main thing. Allow us to be the church that you have created us to be. Father, help us to be holy, for you are holy. Father, we pray for boldness, and we pray for opportunities to share the gospel with others. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.